Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to another hour of talking about golf here on Sactown Sports 1140. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh is with me tonight, and we've got a very, very, very packed show tonight, so we won't waste time talking about what we've done. We're going to let you in on some great guests. We'll be back right after these messages with Lane Lewis from Old Brockway.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. As you know, Northern California is rich with an incredible amount of golf courses. I almost feel guilty sometimes when I think of other parts of the country and what we have to offer. But as part of the Golf to Go credo, we like to introduce you to golf courses, some of which you already know and some you may not know. And there's a little treasure that sits up at North Lake Tahoe. And it's called Old Brockway Golf Course, and it's got some great history. And Lane Lewis, the owner of Old Brockway, is here with us. Lane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
This little nine-hole golf course that you own is a treasure. I mean, it sits right across the street, basically from this beautiful lake, and it's got history, which we're going to get into, but. I guess the first thing I would say is, you know, it's family owned. What makes somebody go buy a golf course?
Well, you know, back in 1980, I sort of fell into it haphazardly. I was supposed to relieve a person up here that went on vacation, and the corporation gave the person a permanent vacation. And then a year later, the pros that were running the golf course were embezzling from the corporation. So I said, hey, this looks like a good idea. So in 1981, I started leasing it from a corporation and ended up buying the course in 1992.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And not unlike some of the early days of Old Brockway, when you had everything from movie stars to gangsters playing there.
Oh gosh, we've had everybody. I mean, we'll start with, you can go back from the presidents, the Charlie Chaplin to Bing Crosby, Bob Hope. The first Crosby was played here in 1934 and 35 before it became any PGA event. But Bing had this as a working vacation when he entertained at the Cal Neva, and it got so big. Then after 2 years, it moved down to his home in Rancho Santa Fe. And in 1938 on, it was a Pebble.
You know, what humble beginnings, really, huh? For Bing Crosby to invite a few of his friends, and now it maybe is the most recognizable golf tournament going on the PGA Tour, the AT&T National Pro-Am. Talk about some of the other people that have played up there, from, you know, Sinatra and the Rat Pack and folks like that.
Oh gosh, when Frank owned the Cal Neva here, I mean, the Rat Pack would be playing here every afternoon before entertaining. And we have a few holes on the course, holes 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, that come back to the clubhouse. And that was named after Dean Martin as the whiskey run. Dean couldn't finish a full nine before heading back to the bar. I mean, the history here, I mean, the course is designed by John Duncan Dunn. I mean, Dunn was one of the foremost architects of the turn of the century. He built Shinnecock and four other U.S. Open courses. And it's the only course that he's built that's still in its exact original shape since 1924. One of our sister courses, Old Brockway in Northwoods in down in Rio Vista, which is an Alistair McKenzie course, are the only two courses west of the Mississippi that made the top 10 nine-hole courses in the country. And there's over 4,000 of us.
And those are two really beautiful courses. You know, you talk about it being in the original condition, and certainly you're referring to design, because the conditioning at your golf course is remarkable. You know, especially for a golf course. What do you open in May and close in October or something like that?
Well, we're located in the Banana Belt, the Lake Tahoe, the Kings Beach Tahoe Vista area, is a little warmer than other sections of the lake. because we have a shelf out there that goes about 4,000 to 5,000 yards out into the lake, and it's only 6 feet deep. So the ambient air temperature is heated up by the water temperature, and it'll be 4 to 5 degrees difference in Kings Beach as opposed to Taos City or the South Shore. So it could be raining, it could be snowing at Taos City, and it'll be raining in at Old Brockway. But it allows us to get an early start, and we always aim for Masters weekend, which is first weekend in April, and we try to stay open. We're first open, last to close. We try to stay open through Thanksgiving weekend every year.
You know, it's a classic design. Obviously, you would expect from when it was built. I mean, long before golf carts and things like that. Probably, Hickory golf clubs were involved in the design. But when you think about how the course is laid out, it's very, very easy to walk because of those, you know, things that, you know, you go basically from green to tee without much effort. And I find that really delightful as a nice walk as well.
It's a great walk. It's a 3 mile walk around the course. And, you know, like you said, being in before the golf course being designed before golf carts, coming off the green, you go right to the tee. There's very little distance in between them. And out in the back of the course, it's just all nature and everything. It's, you know, we have this, we try to groom the course exactly like John Duncan Dunn wanted to envision it back in 1924. It was one of the longest golf courses built in 1924. I mean, if you could imagine playing hickory sticks at 6,800 yards,
that
was probably the equivalent of about 8,600 yards with regular clubs. And in fact, the course record still has never been broken here. It was Jack Purcelli from the Sonoma Mission Inn set the course record of 31 in 1931. Now, I've had it tied a few times, but I don't recognize it until it's broken because Jack did it with hickories.
Yo, wow, that's a great record then. I read something that I found really interesting. You talk about nature. Yours was the first course in America to get Audubon Cooperative Sanctuary?
Yeah, we were the first nine-hole course United States to get that designation. That was my superintendent, Dave Laurie. He's been with me for 32 years, and like he said, he wakes up every morning to go out and take care of the old lady. That's what he refers to Old Brockway as. And it's really interesting because, you know, we have all these natural wetlands areas and we're in an environmental zone. We're right next to the lake. So our environmental regulations are quite heavy, but we've been able to stay always a step ahead of them using natural filtration areas, our groundwater modeling. Actually, the water leaving the golf, the water entering the golf course is cleaner when it leaves the golf course than when it started.
We're talking with Lane Lewis, the owner of Old Brockway Golf Course at North Lake Tahoe. Scott, I know you love mountain golf. Have you ever had a chance to play Old Brockway?
I just feel like I'm less of a human being and golfer for not having played this course yet. And my first thought, Frank, is, you know, we're a part of the Media League here in Sacramento. We play nine holes every Wednesday at Hagen Oaks, which is a fabulous course. But why have we not scheduled one of the weeks to be at an Old Brockway? I do not understand that for the life of me.
You may have stumbled on
something. I'm waiting for the call now.
I am there. I am looking at the front of your website. And I'm assuming it's the first tee with Lake Tahoe in the background and the clubhouse to the left. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have a fabulous restaurant right here, Spindle Shakes. We got full golf facilities. We got a practice range. We have practice green. It's fully complemented with the course going out there. So that typical comment I get at Old Brockway was, I've been driving past this for 20 years. I finally stopped and played. Now I won't play anywhere else. So
I am just so impressed with what I'm seeing. And I'm just wondering, in terms of the nine holes, just if somebody gets out there, you talked about the nature and the environment. I mean, 31 seems like an impossible score because it looks anywhere you're around, you're in a tree or you're in the water if you're not on the green.
I say to everybody, it's very simple to play. All you do is have to hit it straight and be below the pin. I mean, our greens, you know, don't forget, back in 1924, our
greens. They're postage stamps, greens, right?
3,400, 4,000 square feet. And, you know, back then they were mowing in them at an inch. Now yeah. We're in an eighth of an inch. So there's a lot of play in those greens.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's tough finding a legal pin placement.
I bet.
But, you know, you mentioned,
you know, if you want to get into something that this is just like, you know, I out there marshaling the course, watching people play. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear a lot of people just put on their boom boxes, old yeah. Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and just go out and encompass the journey.
You mentioned the restaurant. I know you remember I had the good fortune about 8 years ago to come up there with the KVIE Channel 6 crew when I was hosting the golf series that we did with them, Tee Time Northern Golf in Northern California. But the one thing that I noticed as I kind of sat in the restaurant and we talked a little bit was how the visitors to Lake Tahoe and your regulars, and you certainly have a lot of both, just really seemed to kind of get along with each other. It was just a really friendly vibe. And you know, I think you get to some place like Old Brockway and you kind of take a deep breath and all those troubles kind of go away.
You know, it's we're the last family-owned and operated golf course up here in Lake Tahoe in Northern Nevada. And it's, you know, when I first started out 42 years ago, we were all family-owned and operated. I have two of my boys out there working it. My wife here helped me out in the pro shop. My daughter-in-law. It's a family operation, and we just take a lot of pride in what we do here. And we want to treat everybody like it's their course that they're coming to play with, and have just a great golfing experience out there. And it's truly, once you get out in the back portion of the golf course as you're playing around, you'll hopefully feel that comfort zone out there.
You know, it's amazing how you are right there on, what is that, 267, I guess, or something?
Right.
But you get in the back of the golf course, it's like you've walked out in the middle of the forest. You don't even know that you're, you know, so close to kind of the hustle and bustle of the area. It's beautiful. Now, I will say, I will have to admit, I haven't played from 1 to 9 all the way through, but we shot footage on, you know, 4 or 5 of the holes. So I got to play enough of them to know that your advice about hitting it straight and getting below the hole is probably something that I'm not capable of, but I look forward to the challenge.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, when I'm coming around, I mean, it's not an easy golf course by any means, but you know, the main thing is just watching the smiles on the faces as our golfers go by. They're totally, most of them, it's a unique experience. I mean, I'm getting a lot of people flying in from all over the country just to play Old Brockway, seeing, you know, because of the interest in the old courses and things. And they're just blown away by the time they finish. It's where they've really enjoyed the experience.
That's pretty good when you get them flying in from other places because of the reputation. You know, you and Northwood, top 10 of 9-hole golf courses. That's pretty much the upper echelon of I wouldn't even say just 9-hole golf courses, but golf experiences. I mean, those are two pretty incredible golf courses that you know, yours and Northwood over in Bodega Bay area.
Gaylord Chap runs Northwood, and I, we always, at the end of the season, we always get together and saying, how can we make these things work better? So we collaborate, work things out, and, you know, it's just, you know, with this industry, we're in the entertainment industry, and, you know, people are coming up here, most of them coming up out of the Bay Area, you know, want to come up and relax and just have a nice round of golf. What we're really noticing, with the COVID and prior to COVID is the amount of millennials that are coming into the sport, because all the publications back 5 or 10 years ago were saying we're going to experience a millennial boom with 9-hole courses, because the millennials want a quick round of golf. They're not necessarily looking for a 18-hole round of golf. They want a quality round of golf with great dining. And that's where we fit right in. And we've been noticing quite a bit more younger players. And it's great to see that section of people coming into the game at a very high clip.
Yeah, great for the golf course and certainly great for the game. All right, we've piqued the interest. We've let them know why they ought to play there. How do we make a tee time, Lane?
Okay, all you need to do to make a tee time at Old Brockway is go to oldbrockway.com, click a tee time, and register and get your time. And I look forward to seeing all you golfers out here at one point or another.
You know, I was just going to say, and I bet you're going to be around to greet them. I mean, that's another great thing about, you know, about it being an owner operator. I mean, your office is right upstairs there, and so you're in and out of the pro shop all the time, and greeting people and thanking them for being there, and what a great experience.
Yeah, you'll always get at least one part of the family here. I can't be 24/7 all the time.
That is Lane Lewis. He is the owner of Old Brockway Golf Course in North Lake Tahoe. It's an experience you owe yourself to try. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm really excited to have John Jacobs and Greg Lloyd here. Greg is a 11-year NFL linebacker with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And my guess, Greg, you know, having just heard that the slogan for the station is Sactown Sports, that's got to mean something to you.
Yeah, I thought that was cool when I heard that just now. I was like, all right. I didn't know if you guys were doing that because I was on or what, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, the station just did a rebrand about a month ago, and we went to Sactown Sports, and you know, you're the first guy that it actually you know, meant something to, having spent a number of years running after quarterbacks and knocking them down.
Absolutely. They I think one of my emails starts out like that, Sacman 95. So that's pretty cool.
I love it. John Jacobs is the tournament director for the Gold Rush Classic, big charity celebrity tournament coming up. Greg Lloyd, who I mentioned, is a 11-year NFL veteran, played with the Pittsburgh Steelers for 10 of those years. And we're going to talk to both of them about the upcoming tournament. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. You know, Rancho Murrieta is an incredible 36-hole property, and used to hold PGA Tour events. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a name similar to yours, if not the same name. And so here
it was. It was the Rancho Murrieta Senior Gold Rush, and that was in Murrieta from '87 to 1995, and then the Gold Rush moved as it became the Rayleigh Senior Gold Rush to Serrano from '96 to 2001.
And so here we are years later. You decided that that some charities in town needed some help, and because of the entrepreneur you are, you thought, well, let's get some celebrities involved, which is why Greg is with us today, and he's going to be playing in the tournament coming up later this month. But John, what, you know, why did you decide to take this on? I mean, it's not like this is really easy to do, and you know, it just happens all by itself. It's a big undertaking.
Well, I'm fortunate to be associated with Jordan's Guardian Angels, which is a foundation that's doing medical research into intellectual diseases and such as autism and several other diseases as well. And it's one of my passions. So I thought, how can I help them? And how can I do something I love and adore, which is golf? And so I thought of two things together. Let's bring a tournament and let's bring Jordan's Guardian Angels together.
Great idea. And then enter Greg Lloyd and a number of others that you're going to talk about in a minute. Greg, have you played in a number of these, you know, celebrity tournaments? And if so, you know, what's your game like?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, guys, first of all, thanks for having me. And yes, you know, a lot of guys, you know, retired guys, not just, you know, this event here, but a lot of retired guys, both baseball, basketball, you know, whatever entity it is, you know, have their own foundations. And a long time ago, some guys would come, like, you play basketball, you come out and do some kind of basketball event. Well, you know, to be all inclusive with everybody, everybody loves golf. Everybody retired, they either love it, they want to play it, or they hate it, and they love it at the same time. You know, if you play golf, you understand that. So what a better way to, you know, to fund your foundation instead of just having a bunch of basketball guys come out, where you could have hockey guys, you know, baseball guys, everybody. So it's a good way also to, you know, to get to know guys. I mean, I met guys that I watched playing basketball and baseball, and it was like, cool, you know, you almost want to say sir to them, that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, it's for a great cause, you know. And so what becomes it becomes almost reciprocal, because, you know, I invite a guy to my golf tournament, you know, when I used to have mine, and then when he has his foundation, he would invite me. And so that's how it would go on. So it's kind of like you're doing favors. But in this case here, for me, I got invited when I was in Sacramento by Mike Merriweather, who played with me in Pittsburgh. As a matter of fact, Mike is the reason why I ended up starting in Pittsburgh. And Mike introduced me, you know, to the gentleman there, and, you know, the rest is history. I'm in the thing. But me, as far as golfing, as soon as this is over with, I'm headed to the golf course. So, you know, just so you know. but I have you know, it's one of those games that you can't sack it. You can't beat it. You just have to go out there every time and try to get better. And it's like, the more you play, sometimes the worse you get. And then you take a layoff sometimes, you come back and you feel like you plan better. So I don't understand it. And because I don't understand it, it fascinates me. So I keep going back, and I guess you can call it, I don't know, punishment wouldn't be the proper word, but in a sense of a way, that's kind of what it is sometimes. So I truly love the game. I truly love the game.
I find it fascinating when an accomplished athlete like you talks about the frustrations of golf. You're a three-time first team all professional, five-time pro bowler, 2 times NFL forced fumble co-leader. And you are in the Pittsburgh Steelers all-time team, which is really remarkable, and a member of their Hall of Honor. So you are an accomplished athlete. You were really good at what you did as a guy sacking quarterbacks. So to find this game as frustrating as it is, you know, on the one hand, for people, you know, we amateurs that are not professional athletes, to see professional athletes struggle. On the one hand, it kind of gives us, you know, the notion that, well, it's okay that we're struggling, because right, it seems to be a universal thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's no different. Now, I played in some tournaments where I played with, you know, some guys who are, you know, CEOs of companies and things of that nature. And they get on the tee box and they're shaking, and it's shaking like a leaf. And I got to go, what's up? And it's like, man, I'm nervous. And it's like, I said, hey, listen, you want nervous? You want nervous? Try playing in front of 70,000 people yelling and screaming, and half of them like you, the other half don't like you because they got different color on. I say, so, you know, you just look at this. Is this just you and a golf course? I said, that's all there. I said, I look at it like tackling. You know, it's one of two things going to happen. I'm going to make it, or I'm not going to make it, but I'm going to give it my best shot. I said, that's how you look at it. So you stand over the golf ball, or you stand over a putt, or you on a driver, and if I'm going to hit it or I'm not. I'm going to hit it straight or I'm not, you know, and I'm going to make the putt I'm not going to hit. So, you know, you take the pressure off of that way. But, see, we have taken the game to another level, because I have a bunch of guys that I play with that retired NFL guys, and it's that thing called gambling. And that's what gets you, because it's like, you know, there's a difference between being, you know, being a gambler and being a good golfer. You don't necessarily have to be a good golfer to be a good gambler. And so, you know, you get caught up in that. But the thing of it is, you know, guys are constantly putting pressure on you. And, you know, it's a game that I love about it, is because no matter how old you are, you know, if you can still walk and you still have use of your extremities, you can play. You know, you get a little older, you move up a tee box. You get a little older, you move up a tee box. And that's what we're all fighting right now. Everybody still want to play all the way back. And I'm going, dude, I can't do it no more. My shoulders won't let me do it no more. So, you know, of course, guys are saying, well, I'm going to play back here. So that's the challenge now. You know, I got to go back and play way back here when I knew I should be playing up there, you know, kind of thing. But again, it's just everybody has a passion, you know, for this game. And it's in different, I guess, in different degrees. But, you know, definitely, like I say, I love it. And I guess, yeah, you guys should, like you say, when you walk up on that tee box, understand that, you know, hey, guys, we're all the same. You know, we just all did a job. I had a job that I did that happened to be on television all the time. So a lot of people got to know me, but it's no different than you and me walking up there. We all have the same nerves. It's just that I've been trained to deal with mine. That's all. That's the big difference.
John, as tournament director of the Gold Rush Classic, it's got to be really comforting to you to know that, you know, celebrities like Greg, you know, have decided to come join you and help your cause and bring the kind of, you know, great attitude that he seems to have to your tournament.
No, we're just so blessed to have so many great athletes. We have Marshall Faulk, Scott Pollard, Bobby Jackson, Greg Vaughn, and many, many others. Mike Merrimethers was, especially Mike's been a big help to help me get some other people and raise the bar in terms of our athletes and what we're trying to do. It's a great tournament though. Basically you'll come in on a Thursday and have a barbecue lunch. And then after that, you'll have a practice round on the North course. After your practice round, you come back to the Harrah's Northern California Celebrity Draft Party. And this is where you're going to select the player that you're going to golf with. And during that party, we're going to grab about 20 people, of which Greg's going to be one of them. And we're going to go out about 170 yards on the 18th green. And we're going to shoot for $1 million hole in one for charity. And so all the other guests will be around the side. And if, you know, if you're going to be able to hit the green, if you don't hit the green, you're probably going to be heckled a lot. So it's a lot of fun. And then the next day we wake up, have Bloody Marys on the range and mimosas courtesy of Acton's Family Vineyards. Jeffrey and Jake are great partners out there. We'll have some phenomenal breakfast burritos and then 10:30 shotgun. And we'll have various holes be sponsored with food, ice cream, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty much a down and dirty tournament. So there's not a lot of ancillary games other than just straight golf, as the winning team's competing for charity and a prize pool. When you come back, we'll have a nice awards party out on the terrace patio and present all the awards and contest prizes and all that fun stuff. And then around 5 o'clock, we do kind of a changing of the guard. We go, we have a farm to fork dinner and we go down to the terrace lawn and we have tents that have big spires and we create a whole special ambiance there. Thanks to El Dorado Hills Party Rentals and Lewis over there. They've been able to create just a phenomenal venue and for our concert. And at the end of the evening, we have a concert featuring the Cripple Creek Band. And so it's a pretty full day. And as I said, it raises money for Jordan's Guardian Angels and their passion. And, you know, again, they're looking into autism, Alzheimer's, intellectual diseases, and some disabilities and cancer as well. So it's a great organization and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Well done. Greg, it sounds like a great couple of days, huh?
What are you talking about? What a great,
You know, the California, Southern California, and, you know, and relax a little bit, you know, get away from some of this, you know, 920 degree humidity I have on my end here in Georgia and everything. So absolutely.
Greg, what's what was it like to play in front of the fans in Pittsburgh?
Okay, I think I had to switch earbuds here. You said, "What?" I think the question was it like to play in front of the fans in Pittsburgh?
Right.
Okay. Well, listen, I heard you. You know, give my thing. First of all, I played 12 years. I played 11 in Pittsburgh, and my last year was in. You know, you got that right. So I said it like that. But, you know, I grew up and I played in Three Rivers Stadium, you know. So Three Rivers Stadium, round, it was old. It had, you know, just it was blue collar. It was definitely blue collar. And, you know, you can open up that entrance down there where the water was and that wind come through there, man, and it will shut you down. But it was just so loud. And what I loved about it was I came into the league in 1987, a sixth round draft choice, Chuck Knoll. And we weren't very good when I got there. I mean, I remember some 6-10s and 5-something, you know, seasons. But the stadium was always packed. The parking lot before you came in was always packed. The night before a game, people would tailgate. So the fans of Steeler Nation is phenomenal. There's nowhere that you can go, no city that you can go, and you couldn't find a wonderful, I mean, an enormous amount of Steelers fans, you know, in a city. And you would go, wow, there have been games that we have played in, and I have been told, it has been said, and I have been told that they were asking people not to sell tickets to Steelers fans. You know, and so, you know, you guys have probably seen some of those games where you've seen the game and you go, well, is this a home game, or the Steelers playing at home, or are they playing away game? And so that's how, you know, serious it is. But just to be a part of a stoic-y, I call it just a era, and playing for a team that's just, I mean, just so classy and classic. And, you know, coming in, not knowing, and then leaving out and having a understanding of what it is to be the best, what it is to expect to win as opposed to hoping to win. And that was all still a pride. I mean, you know, Chuck Knoll instilling us, learn everything, learn everybody's position on the field, what everybody is doing on the field on that one play. Bill Cowher came in with the same thing. So I love that about it. And then the fans embrace that. You know, like you said, you know, anybody that plays for the Steelers and you come in and you kind of, you know, I won't say drop your head and let anybody just walk all over. But if you keep your head, you know, keep your head up and walk a straight line, and they love you, man. And they say, you ain't got to be a superstar. You ain't got to be a starter. You just got to be a player that loves the game and love, and, you know, wear that black and gold. And those people, I don't want to use the word worship, but those people definitely honor you with, you know, wearing of your jerseys and coming to the game. And that's what, you know, that's the, you know, the thing that you like, you know, 20 years later, when you see somebody wearing your jersey or you're doing an interview and somebody's talking about, you know, when you play, that's what that's all about.
We're talking with Greg Lord, retired NFL linebacker, and John Jacobs, tournament director for the Gold Rush Classic. John, you know, listening to Greg talk about, you know, his team and the feelings on the field, that's one of the really, really cool aspects of a celebrity amateur tournament, that you're with these incredible athletes that you've seen on television, that you know, that you've that have been heroes to you in some cases, but to get them on the golf course where everybody is just friends, you know, and to trade stories like that, boy, you know, what a great part of the golf tournament that is.
It's a great and genuine experience. I mean, we have some really fun guys when we're actually out talking with people. It's not so much, are they good golfers? Are they good to people? Are they good to be with? Are they fun to be with? And are they outgoing? So, I mean, like I said, Olden Polonies has always been a great person for us, Greg. We have Sterling Sharp, which is going to be a tremendous character coming out this year as well. So, and always our ambassador, Don and Scott Pollard, who've been there from the beginning with us, and they're just such great people. I'm just happy to have them as well.
We are getting up against the clock here, but I don't want to let Greg go, and I don't want to let you go. So I'm going to take a little break for a couple of messages, and we're going to come right back with more of Greg Lloyd and John Jacobs on Sactown Sports, 1140, and we'll be right back.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. I'm joined by Greg Lloyd, 11 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a linebacker. Calls himself Sackman, as well he should, but he had something like 55 sacks or something in his career. John Jacobs is the tournament director of the Gold Rush Classic, which comes up at the end of the month. John, we haven't given any particulars like date and, you know, how to get involved and things like that.
I apologize. Yeah, we still have a few sponsorships available. The date of the Gold Rush Classic is August 25th and 26th, Thursday and Friday, upcoming in about 3 weeks at Rancho Murrieta. And if anyone's interested, they can get more information at goldrushclassic.org.
So can people come out and watch?
Right now, members are allowed to come out. We're working on that towards the for the future. We have some security challenges at Murrieta. As you know, it's a private a gated community, so we have to go through that and go through those hoops. But that's something we're looking to do next year.
And are there still playing positions?
Yeah, we have like I mentioned, three or four more groups are available to come in. We'd love to have you. It's a great experience, and you have a full day of fun, meeting some great athletes and fellowship, while raising money for some great charities.
Can't get any better than that.
No. You're going to be hearing more about our tournament upcoming and our sponsors and what we do in the next coming weeks. We have some great media partners, which is K-Hits 105 with Todd Spielman. And, of course, you know, Steve Cottingham and Bill Lilly. They're KHK Sacktown and KNCI 105. And so they're great partners, and we'll be broadcasting some commercials that support our sponsors and what we're doing.
You know, you get yourself on a team and get to that pairings party, and maybe you'll end up with Greg Lloyd on the first tee the next day. Greg, after 12 years in the NFL, what's your most lasting memory? What do you take away?
Oh man, it's always, you know, people think about, you know, games and things of that nature. For me, it's always the friendships that you made, you know. And one of the things that I always wanted to do when I played, one of the things I always wanted a guy to do, I wanted a guy to give me his best, but I wanted him to be the best teammate that he could be. I mean, if you own anything, if you work anywhere, you want to have the best workers around you, the best assistant. And that's all I ever wanted to be. And so I tried to be the best teammate. And sometimes being the best teammate don't mean that you're going to be, you know, how do you say it? You know, I'm not going to be in line with a lot of stuff that you say, because everybody understands that leadership is not about, it's not a popularity contest. You know, you just look around in this country and in the world where, you know, leaders are talked about and shunned every day. So leadership is not a fun position to be in. So when you're captain, a lot of, you know, stuff comes your way. You have to make decisions that's best for the team, not necessarily for individual. So I took it upon myself to be a great teammate on and off the field. And I share those relationships with my teammate now. We're leaving, going to Virginia Beach to play golf here next week. It's about five or six of them. These are guys that I play with and against, and we just formed a relationship, and we just keep it, you know, we just make it about golf now. So for that, you know, that's what I took. I took the friendship, and of course all the life lessons in football, that football or any kind of sport brings, as far as working hard and, you know, not quitting and, you know, finishing. And, you know, if you have a goal, attain your goal, even if you don't attain the goal. A lot of people would, you know, think about how many guys want to play in the NFL. I mean, you know, there's a lot of other things that have come up, you know, this new leagues and stuff like that. But everybody's goal that plays football is to play in the NFL. But not that many people get called. So I'm fortunate and I'm blessed to be one of those guys, and I don't ever take it for granted. And every day, you know, that I get a chance, you know, to be with those guys and to talk to those guys, you know, we relish that moment, because like I say, it didn't have to be that way. Honestly, my first 2 years in the league, I had two torn ACLs. I should have never played football after the first one, and definitely should have never played after the second. But I ended up playing, like you say, you know, 11 years and, 12 years total. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a thankfulness that comes over. So that's what I take from it. You know, a lot of the other stuff that I get from it, you know, you have to come out and play golf with me, and those would be private conversations that we could have.
You know, you talk of teammates and supportive and being a leader, and those are words that that seem to describe Bill Russell, who we just lost, one of the world's greatest athletes.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I find similarities in what you're saying with what we read about Bill. What's your impression of him as a person?
Well, you know, anytime you see a guy who came along the time he came along, you know, born 1939, I believe, or 34, you know, he came up, you know, against all kind of, you know, how do you say? He was a guy who kind of one of the guys that paved the, the road for the rest of us in sports when it comes to African-American, athletes and being, the best. But, again, he, like Jackie Robinson, they did it with class. You know, they spoke up when they need to speak up. They, they stood up for what was right. But, from a standpoint of an athlete and being out and playing, I mean, who can say that they won 8 championships in a row? Who can say they won 11? Not a long 3-4. I mean, I know Brady got 7, but 8 in a row and 11 total. So, I mean, that's mind-boggling, in itself. And I don't care what sport it is that you're playing. I mean, it's almost impossible to do, and he did it. But, I mean, Bill Russell was one of those guys that he played the game and he flew on the radar. I mean, like you say, I mean, you can go Google me. There's a lot of stuff out there, good, bad, and indifferent, about me. And I stand behind it. I stand behind whatever's there because, it's part of the story. If I had to write an autobiography, you can't leave the bad stuff out. You got to put the good, bad stuff in there too. And so, but one of the things you see about Bill Russell, I never read anything, negative, about him. He always came across as just being classic. Like he could run for office and hold the office somewhere, in our government, and everybody would trust him because of, not so much of what he did playing basketball, but because of his character. And I think that's the word that we have gotten away from in our culture now. It's like character builder, And, he stood for that. And for that reason, I admire him and people like him, not just people of color like him, but just people like him who did what they did, kept their head up, not necessarily down, and took pride in what they did. And, how can you not admire a relative guy who does anything like that? I don't care, what they look like or where they come from.
Amen. You spoke about playing in these tournaments with other athletes, with basketball players and baseball players and hockey players. And are golfers athletes, Greg?
Oh, most definitely. Okay. I don't care what people say. Golfers are athletes. Hey, listen, you can tell when you see those, when you see the professional golfer, in person, some of them may not look impressive, some of them are, but they are athletes. Listen, I'm bigger than, and I'm being retired, I'm bigger than most of them. And every one of them, even the ones that are ranked in the 1,000, will definitely hit that ball a lot further than I will, because that's something that they know how to do. And so in that regard, absolutely the athletes. They have to train. I think Tiger should have put a myth and put all that to rest when he, when he came about and started working, and you started seeing what he was doing in golf, how he changed golf. But most definitely, golfers are definitely athletes. I would never tell anybody anything different. Anybody that says anything different, all they got to do is try to become a professional golfer and see what it entails. Definitely.
We're talking with Greg Lloyd, who's going to be one of the celebrities at the Gold Rush Classic. And we're also talking with tournament director John Jacobs. John, as we mentioned earlier, having the celebrities that you've got coming has really kind of, in your third year, it's got to make you feel good that this continues to grow.
Oh, I'm extremely excited about the direction it's going. We've just gotten a little bit better every year. We're learning as we go, and we're just trying to appeal to new. This will be Greg's first year and Mike's first year, and it's kind of tough. They may be a Raider fan and me asking couple of Steelers.
Immaculate reception. That's all I'm going to say.
I have yet to forgive.
That's all I'm going to say.
that's good. No, we're really blessed. And we've got some, one with our golfers, as I mentioned, we have a couple of foursomes available at goldrushclassic.org. But we've got also got some great auction prizes for people. We've got a trip to the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Some Edgewood giveaways and a couple of trips to the Ritz-Carlton and at Half Moon Bay with golf as well. So it's all
great
odds, and it's all a lot of fun.
Love it. Greg, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you on a golf course?
I've had 2 hole-in-ones, unfortunately.
Right.
And, awesome. Lucky. I'm telling you, lucky. Had nothing to do with it. I missed the green, and it bounced up there, and I was playing with a guy at MGA. I was playing in the men's group on a Sunday, and it bounced up, and we were walking. And, you know, if I'm playing with you or anybody, you hit a hole in one, you know, there's some excitement, right? You're like, wow, man, they went in the hole. And the guy just turned around, you know, I looked at it. I said, Mr. Green, right? He said, no, I went in the hole. That's how he said it. He's like, no, I went in the hole. And so, of course, wow. I mean, would you believe that if he said it like that? I didn't believe him. So no. I didn't get excited about it. So I walked up, you know, and it was a little hill. I walked up the hill. And I thought it bounced up, you know, over the green. So I went over the backside of the green. And then he looks at me again. He says, hey, man, it went in the hole. So I go over there. I said, how do you say it went in the hole and not be excited like that? I said, oh, I get it. This is the MGA, and you got to pay me money for this. I get it, you know. But you know, I tell you what, man. What John and those guys are doing, the people that are going to be playing and the people that are paying to be in this tournament, I mean, if you're going to be in this tournament, here's what you're going to do. I mean, you know, you're going to come play, and you're going to, like you said, you're going to go to a parents' party. And a drafting party, and you're going to pick a celebrity that you're going to play with. And you not only were you going to get golf, but what you're going to get is you're going to get a lot of great stories that a lot of people have never heard about. A lot of people will never hear about. That's what you're going to get. You know, and it's an opportunity for us to actually talk to guys that, you know, you watch football and you watch somebody else talk about football, but getting it from the mouth of the, you know, from the horse's mouth, I guess you could say, is a lot different. And then the stories that are being told that are never heard, the training camp stories, you know, I mean, just all that in itself is priceless. It's priceless. And so when we come to these things, we understand that is, I'm there for them. I am there for them. We're there for the charity. We're going to raise money, as much money as we can for the charity. But the people who are there, who are putting their money up and helping, you know, John and these guys raise money, that's why we're there. We're there so they can have a great time that they can enjoy. So the next year they say, you know what, not only will we do one group this year, we're going to do two, maybe three, you know, this year, because I want everybody to have that experience. And that is exactly, you know, what that's about, because how many people will get a chance to play golf with Marshall Faulk or with Sterling Shine. Sterling is a riot. He is funny as all get up, you know, and everything. But how many people are going to be able to say, I played golf with him, man. This guy was hilarious. Not only that, Sterling is like a +2 handicap. He can hit his golf ball, you know? And so can Marshall. But that's the thing, you know, you're paying for an experience, but at the same time, you're helping out, you know, charities, you're helping out, you know, a charity, a foundation, you know, and in this regard, you know, it's the Jordan Syndrome, and then, you know, First Tee, and a lot of other charities that John and those guys have chosen to do. So, you know, for that reason, I will fly across the country for 5 hours or whatever, and I will lend my time, because, you know, those are the things that are close and dear, you know, to us. And so that's what we do.
You know, the only thing that bothers me, John, about the tournament is knowing that I won't get a chance to play with Greg, because what a great 4.5 hours that would be.
No, that will be great.
So the Gold Rush Classic, Rancho Marietta, August 25th and 26th. John Jacobs is the tournament director. Greg Lloyd, not only is a... is an 12-year NFL veteran, but apparently also chief cheerleader for this particular event. Greg, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time and your humanity. You know, that comes through. And the golf is always secondary to me. You know, people always ask me, where's the best place I played, or, you know, and it always has to do with the people I was with, you know, and absolutely, that's what it comes down to, because
absolutely,
it's the time you spend on the golf course. It's the handshake. It's the, you know, it's the nod to each other. It's knowing that you've shared something. And that's what's so wonderful about this game.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Sharing the good hits, the bad hits, and all the fun together.
We're going to do that on August 25th and 26th at Rancho Marietta at the Gold Rush Classic. Thank you so much, Greg Lloyd, John Jacobs. Appreciate it. We've run out of time again on this hour of the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Back next week at the same time. Look forward to seeing you all. Have a great time. Hit them straight.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.